great passage here that we look into in Hebrews chapter 10. Notice as it speaks in verse 10, he speaks about, he says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Our salvation and our sanctification can come through no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice our focus this morning is where he says, once for all. And then he goes on to elaborate about the priest and the law. Now understand, the book of Hebrews was written to the Jew in that time when the temple was still standing. And there was a tremendous persecution on those early believers who had forsaken Judaism and had embraced Christianity. And they were under great persecution to come back to Judaism. Many of them were cast away. They lost all that they had. They were thrown out of their homes. And the persecution, much of it, I'm sure, came upon their own family members or from their family members. And they're reminded here in verse 11, and every priest, a practicing priest in the temple, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices over and over and over and over, turtle doves and bullocks and oxen and lambs and such, which can never take away sins. You see, listen, the law covered our sins. Jesus Christ canceled our sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that. He takes our sins away. I didn't write that down. Somebody jot it down. I want to remember that later. We see here that he says in verse 12, but this man, the Lord Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice, his life, for sins forever, there again, eternity, sat down on the right hand of God. And he says in verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever, there that word is again, them that are sanctified. You know, there's a great evidence of evolution. And we have a nasty taste when we hear the word evolution because we've had that taught in our government schools that this is the way the world came about. But I was thinking about change and what a great change this had to be for the nation Israel. And I was thinking about when years ago, and some of you, you're not going to even know what I'm talking about. Some of you older ones will. But when we did a term paper, we did it in a typewriter. And I said, what's a typewriter? Well, in comparison to a computer, it's like a medical term, putting leeches on you. And you would put that onion paper in there. Somebody give me a witness. Some of you are looking at me, they put onions in typewriters, you know. And you roll that around. Yes, I see it back there. And you roll that around. And then you pray to Jesus when you got to the end on the term paper that you had enough room to put the, what are they called? The footnotes. It's footnote, not footnotes. What is that what it is? What is it? What? What is it called, Joy Bell? Is the footnotes okay? All right. What did you call it? You've never done a term paper, I can tell. The remainder of this service, stay out of my preaching, okay? And when it would fall out, Ryan, when the paper would fall out, when you try to inch it up to put that footnote in there, you would cry because you have to type the whole thing over again. If you made a mistake, which hardly ever happened to me, you had this abrasive eraser that you would burn a hole in your paper with trying to get that done. Then they had the evolution of correction tape. When correction tape came in, we thought, boy, we're really doing. Then there's the whiteout, and oh, you could paint the side of the barn with that. And then there was the lift off correction tape. And today we have the blessed delete key. Hallelujah for the delete key. But the question is this: where does the mistake go when you delete it? Matter of fact, we know this. If you've watched any kind of crime programs, you'll see that those who Google how to kill your husband with cyanide or how to put sweetener in your tea that's not sugar, you know, or how to suffocate someone. You know, they delete that, but the FBI or the law enforcement professionals, they can go back on the hard drive and they can pull all that up, all your cell phone. They know everything you're doing. They know all about us. They know what's taking place. Things have really changed. Now listen, in creation, God made something out of nothing. But in forgiveness, his forgiveness, God takes something and makes it nothing. That's what he does. Now we could stop right here and it'd be a good day, wouldn't it? I could talk about Adam and Eve, and we know how they disobeyed God and how Eve was fooled in Genesis chapter 3. And we're told that Adam, he willfully disobeyed God in Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, this is Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And we're told in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. James 1 verse 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Ezekiel 18 verse 4 says, behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the souls of the sons is mine. The souls that sinneth, it shall die. God made a law that he has also set a penalty for breaking that law. Now, there are consequences to our sin. And that consequence is death to the one who breaks his law. But God also has a plan dealing with man's sin. And if you look in this passage of Hebrews 10, let's back up just a little bit to verse 4. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of goats or the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. It's impossible for that to take place. It can cover our sin in the day of the law, but it does not cancel our sin. Wherefore, when he covereth or when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Isn't that true? All through, man, it began in Genesis chapter 3, that it would bruise his heel, but he would crush his head. I'm enjoying myself this morning. To do thy will, O God. Above when he said sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hath pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. When Jesus Christ came here to pay our sin debt, understand this, he's doing the will of God. He taketh away the first being the law, that he may establish the second, the age of grace, this great sacrifice of the Lord, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. I like that, once for all. I believe that's a hymn somewhere we could sing. Look, this is, in every priest standeth daily ministering. As the priests are in the temple and they're ministering, they're offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered the one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Notice verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Three thoughts this morning. First of all, let me ask, where are our sins? Where our sins are not, let me show you where they're not. Our sins are not, first of all, in the mind of God. I want you to pause just a moment. I want you to think about your sin. Think about things that you would be ashamed if someone knew about, but God knows about them. God understands that. But think about that. Our sins are not in the mind of God. In Jeremiah 31, verse 34, the Bible says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, for the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Our sins are not in the mind of God. In Hebrews 8, verse 12, the Bible says, for I would be merciful to the unrighteous, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In Hebrews 10, verse 17, he says, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God has said that he will no longer remember the sins anymore. Jesus and Jesus alone has the ability in his omniscient power, to forget about our sins. We don't have that ability. We think about them perhaps. The devil accuses us and reminds us of them. But we have this forgiveness and through the Lord Jesus Christ. When someone does some evil, when someone says some evil about us, often the matter will go on for years, and we'll remember what they said and how it hurt us and how it cut us to the bone. We'll go on with great effort to remember the sin that someone has committed against us and the hurt that they did. If we, if we do happen to forget it, then there's someone or something that would jar our memory. Aren't you glad that God doesn't remember our sins? He says, I remember no more. He says, will I remember no more? He says, will I remember their sins no more? Our sins are not in the mind of God, and our sins are not on our account. I like that song, Brother Gray, about the old account was settled long ago. He says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All sin was laid on Christ and on his cross. If one sin escaped the cross, if one person said, well, you know, I can see he paid for my sin of lying, but what about his sin of adultery? What about his sin of fornication? What about his sin of homosexuality? Or what about his sin of profanity? Or what about his sin of pornography? Let me tell you something. They were all dealt with on the cross. If one sin escaped, then the death of Jesus Christ was not complete. If one sin escaped, then salvation was not finished on Calvary. If one sin escaped, then you and I do not have eternal salvation today. But he tells us in Hebrews 10, 12, but this man, the man Christ Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. This man is Jesus. He offers one sacrifice. No other sacrifice will ever be needed. Jesus offered one sacrifice for sin. He died for all. He died for all our sins. Nothing was missed. Nothing was skipped out or omitted for all the time. And now forever, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are not in the mind of God. Our sins are not on our account. And our sins are not waiting for us at the judgment seat. Our sins aren't there waiting for us at the judgment seat. He tells us in the scriptures over in 1 Corinthians, he says in verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There will never be another foundation. There's not needed. One's not needed. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so also by the fire. You see, our sins are gone. Our sins are forgotten. Our sins are erased. It's as just as if they've never existed. May I tell you this morning that the judgment seat of Christ is about, it's not about punishing sinners or about revealing our sin. At the judgment seat of Christ for the children of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're not going to find punishment or revealing our sins. We will get the judgment seat of Christ there. We'll get there and we'll have the issue of rewards. Our rewards will be given out according to our works and to our obedience to Christ. Our rewards may be reduced because of repeated sins. But the issue of judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, that won't be the discussion at this judgment. Folks, we ought to be thankful for that. He could list our sins. He could come down, but he doesn't because we're forgiven. This only applies to those who have been to Calvary. Those who have never been born again will have to pay the price for their sin at the great white throne judgment. Where are our sins? Let me say, we won't find our sins in the mind of Christ or on our account or at the judgment seat of the Christians. But let me say, secondly, where are they at? Well, our sins are several places. Let me show you where they're at. First of all, our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. Whatever sin we have, it's got to be under the blood. He tells us in Hebrews 9, verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The blood washes away our sins. Every little stain, every little speckle, every little thought that was wrong, everything you have said, everything you might have done, everything you have thought about doing, the blood washes it white as snow. Our sins are covered by the blood. But notice also, our sins are placed at the bottom of the sea. In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, the Bible says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I will live eternally. Praise God. My sins are G-O-N-E. Gone. I can't sing it. I wish I could. But I've experienced it. I'm grateful. My sins are gone. Let's not ever get over it. Our sins are covered by the blood of Christ. And our sins are placed at the bottom of the sea. Let me say that our sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. You know this in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You understand that you will go east so far that you finally, you just continue to go east. You can't not run into west. You can go west so far, but you'll never be intercepted by east. You go north so far, you'll finally hit south and vice versa. Our sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. Our sins is placed in the bottom of the sea. Our sin is covered by the blood of Christ, and our sins are placed upon Jesus Christ. He says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where are our sins? They've been placed upon Jesus Christ. He bore our sins on his body. He became our sin bearer. He is our mediator between a sovereign, righteous God and a poor, lowly sinner. Only God can deal with our sins. Now listen to me. If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to come, because the wrath of God abides on you today because of your sin. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You need to come. Don't tarry. Run to the foot of the cross this morning and ask God for forgiveness. And then, if you are a child of God, listen to me carefully. While you rejoice in our sins being gone, we need to keep a short account with God and be walking with him and confess our daily sin. What are those things in our life? Oh, we're saved and our sins under the blood of Christ, our sins at the bottom of the sea, our sin as far as the east is from the west. Our sin debt has been placed on Jesus Christ. But what is that sin in our life that so easily besets us? What is that sin that keeps us defeated? What is that sin that causes defeat and makes us ashamed and perhaps him ashamed of us? What is that sin? That sin must be put under the blood of Christ too. Would you think about it a moment? As we take the Lord's Supper, we take a time to reflect back and what Jesus did at Calvary. As we take the Lord's Supper, he says, till I come, we reflect about his coming again. But then it says, let a man examine himself, that we might deal with our sin, that we won't partake unworthily, bringing damnation upon ourselves, the Bible says. Christian, there's a lot of tolerated sin. They're not mistakes. They're not poor decisions. It's sin. And we need to deal with our own personal sin. Do you have bitterness this morning? Do you have an unforgiving spirit this morning? Are you prayerlessness? Is there prayerlessness in your life today? Is there a chasm between you and the Lord? Is something between you and the Lord today? Oh, today, you're walking second class if you haven't got your sins covered and have your sins canceled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Lord, I ask that you'd help us this morning. God, help us. I pray for those who are without you. They may have religion. They may come from a good family. They may grow up in a great country. But they have never really had their sins forgiven. I pray, Lord, that they'd see that today. That they've had a head knowledge, but they've never had a heart knowledge. That they understand that there's a God and a Son, and he's the Savior, but they've never really received him and repented of their sin to live for him. Then, Lord, I pray for those who have had that spiritual awakening. They've actually been saved. They know that. But they walk in this world and they walk amongst the ungodly. They blend in and they compromise their testimony and they compromise their trust and faith in you. Help them today. Lord, would you help us, as I think of Evangelist Richard Harper, who mentioned that we are evil. Lord, we know that we're bad, and maybe we're even wicked, but God, help us to see how we are evil. And may we be broken over our sin. How we can sin and defile ourselves, and how we can sin and just live our life and go our way. And there's no concept of brokenness there. A matter of fact, there may be a mom and dad more broken over their children's sin than the children. There may be a godly deacon or a pastor who's more broken over some marriage with sin in it than the couple themselves. God, help us to get back to confessing our sin. And let us rejoice today that our sin is forever abolished, taken away. Bless today. Bless our invitation. May we be people who come broken, make decisions at this altar, and as we leave, it alters our life to live for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to ask questions this morning. But would you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you anything in your life that should not be there? That's grieving the Holy Spirit, that's quenching the Spirit, that's disapproving of the Father. And whatever it is, would you come and draw close to Him today? He says, draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. Practice that this morning. Leave here a few steps closer to your Savior. Come and come now.